and appreciate that this morning, Brother Long. Thank you so much. And it does make a difference when a mother, though, may I say it this way, it was not God's intent that mothers carry the load of responsibility for setting the precedent of what a family should be doing. That responsibility ultimately was given to the man. That burden of being the one to set the tone and the direction for the family was supposed to be the father, the husband. But I thank God for some godly ladies that even if the husband did not have a focus on the Lord, let me just ask you a question. How many of y'all had a godly mother or grandmother that was a major influence in your family's life? All right, there you go. There you have it. The majority wins. But it, without fail, you'll find that God uses godly women, godly ladies, to have an effect on the home. Y'all know the saying, and we use it as a joke. Some people are not brave enough to use it as a joke, but y'all know the saying, happy wife, happy life. But honestly, we joke about that. I do, at least. But there is a small bit of truth in that statement. And the truth is, my wife has said it numerous times. I like using things my wife has said. That way, if you don't like it, it's her fault. But no, my wife said many times, I believe she is right. When you look at the picture of the home and how God designed it, you see in a lot of ways the picture of God Himself. You have the father who is to be the head of the home. And as my wife has put it many times, you have the mother who is likened in a lot of ways unto the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of the home. Many times as the father is to lead in direction, the mother is the one who sets tone of the atmosphere of a home. And when a father is, get up, you ain't dead, it ain't gonna kill you. The mother's the one over there, all right, let's wipe it, let's clean it, are you okay? The dad, look at son, man up. Or in my case, because you don't have any boys that tell your daughters, man up. but no, the father sometimes is that direct information. Matter of fact, the mother, by God, is designed, by their nature, is designed to be a caretaker, a one who is sensitive more than any other individual, more sensitive to the needs and the desires and the hurts of the family. And so there is a likening to the Holy Spirit of the home to a degree. By the way, husbands, let me hit you real quick. God forbid we fail to listen. Come on, ladies, y'all can say amen. God forbid we fail as husbands to listen to the one that God placed us there to help. Now, ladies, that doesn't mean that you nag. Y'all do remember that passage of scripture in Proverbs. We actually sang it as a song growing up. My wife will know it. A continual dropping in a rainy day and a contentious woman are like. A continual dropping in a rainy day and a contentious woman are like. Because one goes drip, 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 and the other goes yak, 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 yak. Because one goes drip, 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 and the other goes yak, yak, yak. We used to sing that. I know I just ruined it for some of you. All right. But there is an importance to the fact that, you know, God designed the helpmeet for that purpose. Not, by the way, and I'm getting a little away from what I'm doing here, but I'm kind of building a premise for this morning. We're often told if you go to a wedding, which most of them aren't even held in churches anymore, they're held everywhere under the sun. Matter of fact, nowadays you don't even need a justice of the peace. Go pay a little bit of money and have a paper signed and you're done. But when you go to a wedding where God is the focus of the home, and you go to a wedding where the design as God designed it for a family is presented, you will hear this almost every time, and you should hear this every time. But God took woman from the side of man. He did not take woman from the top of man that she should rule over him, nor from the foot of man that she should be trodden under him. But he took her from a rib from the side that they should walk side by side in God's perfect design of working together in his will. And when you understand God's premise of the wife and motherhood as a whole, you understand there is an importance. It has nothing to do, God's design and individual purposes for man and woman, it does not lessen the importance of the other's position. Just because, well, man was given the authority to rule the home, so the woman's nothing. Wrong answer. Wrong mentality, and that's where society has come in and tried to convince people that the idea of biblical home is nothing but archaic servitude for anybody that's not a man. And I'm sorry, that's an improper interpretation of God's intent. In the home, the man has a responsibility and will answer before God for that responsibility. But in the home, we're easily taught and very clearly taught that man is incomplete when he tries to do everything by himself. He was given a helpmeet, a person to complete him, to help him. And by the way, fellas, we should have a listening ear to the one that God has placed in our life. And as a husband and wife, when you have a father and a mother who are in conjunction working together, you can have a home raising children that have the balance of what they need in authority and love. Now, I say all that, and I get down to this point as well. Let me also make very clear, in the home, when it comes to the family, father and mother need to be on the same page, or the children will know exactly how to take advantage of that. Anybody here ever experienced that? I know growing up, none of y'all growing up as kids ever saw an opportunity to get mom or dad to agree opposite of each other, and that way you can get your way. I mean, none of y'all ever used that, right? You got no from mom, so you went to dad. Or here's how typically it goes. You get a no from mom, the girls get a no from mom, they go to dad. Daddy. Or the boy gets a no from dad, he goes, mom. And it's naturally born within us as children. If we see a weakness, we're going to use it. Why? We want what we want. And I want to get it. And if I can get mom and dad to disagree, I can find one of them that will agree with me, and then I can go do it and blame them. We know how this works. Listen, there is a bit of manipulation ability in every child. Just watch them. But when the father and the mother together are working together with a unified purpose and design, kids can try. And sometimes they might get away with it. Even my own do it sometimes. But they try. But when the father and mother are working in unity together, kids get what they need. Children get what they need in raising. So what is the importance of the mother? Well, this morning I want to look at, I'm going to be very, very predictable in some ways. I want you to go to a passage of Scripture that that points out in the most popular way the definition of a godly woman. And we're going to look at some of this and pull out some information here for us this morning. So why don't you go to Proverbs 31. All right, Proverbs 31. And I know some of you fellas are thinking, oh, great, here we go. You know, got a message for the ladies. Trust me, I have a way, when I'm going through things, I don't know, I guess just because God, Lord steps all over my toes while I'm at it, so I might as well let the other fellas share it with me. But so we'll go ahead and liken a lot of the truths to all of us in some ways, but we are going to look at this thought of a mother's wisdom. A mother's wisdom and the importance of it. The Bible in Proverbs 31 is known as, this is known as being the virtuous woman passage, the definition, the description of a virtuous woman. Now, can I also say this and be a little bit of sandpaper for a moment? My wife calls me that. Said just always rubbing and just, I'm like, well, if things would just smooth out, it'd be better. But it'd be a little bit of sandpaper. Here it is. There's a lot of times I hear people claim virtuous woman, virtuous woman, virtuous woman. And I am not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not saying anything in particular. I have nobody in particular in mind. But I do know this. There's a lot of times you hear the claim of being a virtuous woman. Or the claim of someone that they think is a virtuous woman. And I'm not going to say that they're completely wrong about individuals. What I am going to say is there are times when I have witnessed the claim on someone to be a certain lady, to be a virtuous woman, but yet what I know about an individual tells me something doesn't add up. I'm going to show you some very specific things that are defined in Proverbs 31. It's one thing to want to be like Proverbs 31. It's another thing to claim it when we're not actually fulfilling it. Y'all get where I'm going? People love to claim it because of one little piece of it or one other piece of it. It doesn't point out one little piece or another little piece. There is a complete and total thought of the individual presented here that I believe is a representation of what a good mother will be. Now, again, no one here is perfect. Ladies, I know none of you here are perfect. You say, how do you know that? Because every one of you had to get up and put makeup on. You're not perfect. All right? And we know guys aren't perfect. That's just a given. But the list of things given here for a virtuous woman is not, you can't just take it parts and pieces and then claim what you think you are in relation to the Bible. There is a consistency and a completeness that is needed to truly see the virtuous woman coming out in the life of a lady. And again, I'm being careful. Why? Because I can dig a hole very fast in this passage of Scripture, and I'm not seeking to do that. But I am just going to seek to be honest with us this morning and look at why it is so important not to just claim something that isn't real, but actually make it real. Make it real. Live according to all the definition. Seek to work to all of these aspects so that it's not just a claim, but it's reality. Now, there are several, I'm not going to list any names, but there are several ladies that I've known in my lifetime that I believe to be truly a very, very much, as far as all I can tell, they accomplish every aspect of this. And I've met many that I would say, to my knowledge, are a typical, as far as a typification of what a virtuous woman would be. But we're going to look at this in Proverbs 31, and it's known as that passage for virtuous woman, but I want you to also understand what is missed in Proverbs 31 is the fact that it starts off in the early verses of this passage presenting the reasoning for the definition of this particular individual. When you look at verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4, you find, I'm not going to read them all, but the virtuous woman doesn't start until verse 10. The verses prior give the basis of why the definition of a virtuous woman that I believe makes the best mother ever when you look at this, here's the reason why. Verse number two, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. There are two things presented in these three passages that are expounded a little bit further if you keep reading. But there are two things presented that are needed in the life of a young man. And those two things are the need for fidelity and the need of understanding the danger of alcohol. Now, Proverbs 31 starts with the warnings against infidelity and giving his strength. In other words, being drawn away, let's just put it in the way we put it, by a whole bunch of floozies. Being drawn away by the temptress, by the one who has no character other than just drawing everything unto herself. Be careful of that. Y'all do understand that the whole book of Proverbs has numerous times where it talks about the strange woman. And here we come to the last chapter, and here is a warning. Give not thy strength unto women. Now, we're going to, at the very end of this message, we're going to look at a unique aspect concerning Proverbs 31 and how it came about. But the need for fidelity and the need to understand the danger of alcohol is the basis of this chapter. And in the middle of this chapter comes into play to the end, and it goes all the way to the end, comes into play what it's known for more than anything else, the virtuous woman. And so in verse number 10, I'm going to read this, we'll pray, and I'm going to give you, I've only got about 12 things on here. Shouldn't be a problem. All right. But we are going to break down to I'm going to look at each verse going down. I'm going to show you some things, the list of things that you find concerning the virtuous woman that I believe every lady here today, whether married, whether single, it does not matter. Everyone can glean from the understanding of what this passage is describing. And by the way, each one of you dads in here, or just men in here, you children in here, will understand that there is an appreciation to be had concerning those that will follow the word of God. But verse number 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And we've already said that mothers are precious and they're valuable and they're special, and the influence you have is spectacular in the lives of your children, but also in the life with your mate, with your husband. The influence is valuable in the home that God designed. But we're going to look at a couple of things. Number one, we're going to look at what she is. We're going to look at why she is what she is. And then we're also going to very quickly look at what she gains because of it. Let me pray, and then I'm going to give you these thoughts very quickly. Heavenly Father, again, thank you this morning for the chance to be in your house. I thank you for each and every one of our mothers and grandmothers that are here this morning. Lord, what a precious position and opportunity that is that they hold. And Lord, we thank you for the influence and the investment in the lives of each and every person that they have touched, Lord, the lives that they have encouraged and helped direct. And I pray that you would, Lord, bless our mothers this morning. I pray that you would give them a wonderful, wonderful day of memories and time with family, Lord, and the appreciation they so deserve. May we, as we look at your word this morning, Lord, would you help us to see the importance of the individual with character that you desire in each and every lady this morning. May, Lord, you give us what we need and only what we need. May you give me the words to speak and only that which you'd have me to say. We ask it all in Christ's name and trust you to do what only you can do in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we look at this, look at the what is she. Let me just, I'm going to go very quickly through this, so you're going to want to write these down. We're not going to skip to a whole bunch of passages. We're going to stay right here in Proverbs 31 this morning, so you don't have to worry about jumping around in your Bible a whole lot. But if you want to write these things down, write quickly. As we look at the list from verse number 10, we start off in verse number 11, begins to give the description of a virtuous woman. Here in verse number 11, you find the first thing that is laid out for us to start off this list, and that is, what is she? What is a virtuous woman? She is trustworthy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The virtuous woman is one that has the character to be trusted. Now, I understand that men, I told you, you're not going to get away with it either. You're not going to just sit here and say, get them, preacher, get them. No, we're all going to get something here. Men, it is important for us to be trustworthy as well. This is not a one-sided issue. When you talk about marriage, or when you talk about let's just say relationships in general, even when it comes to relationships in the church, brethren to brethren, is not trust one of the most valuable parts of a relationship? If you do not have trust, you actually do not have a relationship. You can have a marriage without actually having a relationship. You can have a coexistence in a church without actually having a relationship with the people in the church. You can sit in here and not really care anything about the person over there. Oh yeah, we go to church together. I don't know a thing about them. I don't really care to know anything about them either. Relationship is built on trust, and it's kept by trust. And trust is a two-way street. So I'm not singling out ladies this morning saying, we better be able to trust you. It goes both ways. But may I say, the virtuous woman starts with the understanding that she can be trusted. And may I also say, when it comes to motherhood, and you mothers that are in here, as you raise children, God is, as he gives children to the family, God is entrusting to the family, to the husband, to the wife, the mom, the dad. God is entrusting to us the investment of children. Mother, you've been trusted from God. You've been entrusted with an opportunity to help guide and develop a life, not to live for themselves, but to live unto God. To teach them the understanding of compassion. To teach them the understanding of love. By the way, the relationship in the home and all things that take place in the home should be a reflection of God's design and purpose, that children can see how it should be. Now, not everybody gets that opportunity. But may I say, even if all elements are not as we would hope they are, each individual can make the difference. Brother Long talked about it. Father not saved, and yet a mother who still invested because she knew what was right. She invested and she prayed and she invested and she prayed and she invested and she prayed. And now here's a son who speaks about the memories of a mother who didn't give up. And who didn't say, well, I'm just going to have to wait until something happens with him. But no, she invested in them, taking them to church, being faithful, praying for him. Not, you need to get right. You need to get right. You need to get right. No, but praying and praying and praying and praying until the Holy Spirit said, you need to get right. A trustworthiness that not only her children get to enjoy, but even the husband gets to appreciate and enjoy as well. A virtuous woman is trustworthy. Verse number 12 and verse number 18 present, I believe, the next thing in our list, which is, again, I believe, one of the things that God designed women to have a much higher sensitivity to, and that is the fact that she is loving. Verse number 12 tells us, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Y'all ever known how sometimes love requires you to do things even if it's not returned? True love requires you to be the person you ought to be, even if the person that you're having to love is not being what they ought to be. True love is not found in loving when it's easy. True love is found is in loving when it's difficult. And may I even say undeserved. You say, how do you know that? Really? Really? We had to go there. All right. For God so loved the world. Now let's switch over. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says also he died for the ungodly. We didn't desire him, but he desired us. We did not love him, but yet he loved us. The epitome of love is loving the unlovely and the unloving. The virtuous woman is one who shows love in doing, in verse number 12 there, doing him, her wife even, her wife, her husband, doing her husband good. By the way, may I also say, well, I thought we're talking about mothers, yeah? The children witness it. The children see it. It's not always what you say that makes the difference. There's a greater difference made in what we do that is witnessed. Verse number 18 points out, again, in the area of love, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. In other words, she doesn't just shut things off, but she is loving in all times. Again, there are times... Y'all ever made that statement? I may have to love you, I don't have to like you. Listen, I understand there are times we get on each other's nerves, right? Hey, moms, did your children ever get on your nerves? Did you ever want to, you know, as my dad used to say, "You keep that up, I'm going to string you up by your toes." Did you ever want to take them and just, Lord, can I just hang them up by their toes for a few hours and just, you know, quiet, relaxing? Where are the kids? Somewhere out there. But there are times when it can get frustrating, but the virtuous woman still loves, is cautious to watch out in how she treats others. Goes along with the second one. Not only is she trustworthy and loving, but the virtuous woman is caring. Verse number 20 and verse number 21. You say, I thought loving is pretty much, it is. You cannot care without loving. Okay? To truly care means that it's an example of and a working of love. But verse number 20 and verse number 21 presents another facet of that love that's not doesn't just deal with the family, but it deals with how she treats others. It goes on in verse number 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. Her care for those around her, the love she has causes her to act upon that love. And she cares for those in need, whether it's her household or it's not her household. She just has a natural care for others. What does that tell you? To have a care for others means you have less a care for yourself. The virtuous woman can't be a selfish individual. A virtuous mother cannot be one that's more concerned with her own personal cares over the cares of her children. The virtuous mother, the virtuous woman cares more about what her husband needs. The virtuous mother cares more about what her children needs. The virtuous woman cares more about the needs of those around her before she focuses on the cares of herself. when children don't need everything they want. Y'all agree? You shake your little heads up and down. Children don't need everything they want. But a loving, caring mother, sometimes it's hard not to just give it to them because you want them to have it. I want my kids to have more than I ever had. I want my kids, and if we're not careful, we'll shower with things because we care. But sometimes, listen, sometimes the love and care is knowing when to not give, because that's not going to help you. I care enough to say no. That's tough. Why? Because parents that love their children really want to, I mean, I want to give them everything that they want. But I can't every time. But a virtuous woman who is a mother, a wife, one of character in the community, is one who cares for others. Very quickly moving on, she's a servant. Verse number 13 through 15. Verse number 13 through 15. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. Through 15. 13, 14, verse number 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. What is she doing? She's serving. Once again, it is the example of a lack of selfishness. Servants serve. Selfish people don't. Unless, of course, they're made to. Servants look for ways to serve. Servants desire to serve and meet needs. The virtuous woman is a servant. She goes far beyond what would technically be expected of someone of that household. And yet she keeps going and she keeps going. By the way, you also notice there in verse number 15, and giveth meat to her household, watch, and a portion to her maidens. Hey, she doesn't look down and say, well, no, you're servants to me. I don't do for you. No. A true virtuous woman even gives to those that are underneath her authority. A true servant even serves those underneath them. I know these concepts go opposite of our society's mentality today, but this virtuous woman, I want you to understand, it's not about just picking parts and pieces of it and say, see, I'm that person. I'm a third, Proverbs 31. No. I'm all for it. If you are, wonderful. By the way, you'll find out those that are typically don't claim it. Those that are don't brag about it. They are because others say that's what she is. But the virtuous woman is a servant that serves her household, a servant that serves the needy, a servant that serves even those that are underneath her authority. That technically work, it's this person that is in the job, the workplace, and she's the boss. Everyone works for her. But yet she comes in each morning or certain mornings, and she knows what they like for breakfast. She knows that they enjoy coffee or they enjoy hot tea, and she comes in and just wants them to be appreciated and wants them to know that she enjoys having them with her. And though she's the boss and they technically work for her, she serves them. By the way, you'll find that this description as a whole describes what the Lord has told us every Christian ought to have in attitude and character. She's a servant, verse number 13 through 15, but then also verse number 17, verse number 19, verse number 22, and verse number 27 point out that she is a hard worker. She's not a slacker. The virtuous woman, the virtuous mother, the one that these children are looking up to, verse number 17 points out, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Why? Because she's going to work. She's going to get to it. Verse number 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Verse number 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse number 27, one of the key ones about this, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She doesn't just sit around waiting for everybody else to take care of her. The virtuous woman is one who works, one who cares, one who serves. She is a hardworking individual. I got to move quickly. She's also, here's a big word for you, she's industrious. And by the way, lest anybody think, well, if you get married, the Bible says you just have to be a little lowly housewife and just stay home and just take care of all the little lowly servant things in the house. No, listen, you ready? You ready? Listen to what she does. She is not some weak little mamsy-pamsy, just sit there and wait until she's given permission to do something. Watch. Verse number 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She looks out, she sees a field, she sees an investment that could be a benefit to her family, be a benefit to life. She goes and buys the field, and she uses that field to produce a harvest. Sounds like a pretty smart individual to me. How about this? Going down, now I am not saying that you do whatever you want and you don't have to, you don't follow the proper guidelines of what God designs. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what the world pictures as the home is error. What the world says, the Bible says, the home is supposed to is error. They only look at negative aspects and blow it out of the water with a whole bunch of false teachings. It is not about putting your thumb down and you can't move, you can't do this. No. She has so great abilities, and she uses those abilities to benefit her family and to benefit her children. She's industrious in all that she does. Verse number 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Wow, hey, she's got a business. She's making money. She's helping provide benefits for the family. Now, here's where I will say one thing. I got to move quick, man. Time's flying. Here's where I divide from some mentalities. Some people have the mentality that, well, bless God, women are to stay home and keep silent. Now, there are some aspects to those two things that I would say there is some truth in that with a whole bunch of error of mentality. The Bible talks about some of that stuff, but you got to really pull things out and make it your own and not deal with the context of what the Bible's talking about to have the attitude that some people have. But I will say this, when I'm trying to think of the word, vocation is a word that came to mind, your job, when an individual, and this goes for men and women, when our job removes us from being present to teach our children what's right and wrong, there's a problem. When the job removes us from being able to invest in our children, and we have to, at all times, we have to give them to other people to be raised, there's a problem. We live in a society where if you're not careful, to go from the extreme of the mentality of, I don't want to be a slave held down in the home. Okay, so they go all the way over here, and they say, I want to be free from everything. And so, words career. They make a career for themselves, and their career becomes their focus. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you. Their career becomes the focus, and someone else has to raise the children because they're not present. You need to work. We have to provide. In today's society, and the way expensive things are, honestly, it takes a two-income home a lot of times to be able to make ends meet. I get that. But when the career becomes the focus and our children are left to themselves, oh, the Bible has something to say about that. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I don't believe you have to be the full extreme this way or full extreme that direction. I believe there is a proper balance because God is a God of balance. And I believe there can be a balance of being a virtuous woman who can provide and who can do and who can even have a business. Look what she did. But yet not sacrifice one responsibility for trying to claim another. You must be very careful with that. I got to move fast. Last two on this. She is also wise, verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You see, all these things that we're presenting are things that children witness in this individual. For a virtuous woman, the next generation sees all these aspects and gets a good picture of what, for the girls, get a good picture of what it is to be a godly woman. For the boys, get a good picture of what it is to find a godly wife. Now watch. The last thing is this. She is the helpmeet. The children get to watch her influence and her helping. The Bible tells in verse number 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Hey, someone who, the virtuous woman who fulfills the role that God has in this description of things, in all that she, her attitude, her working, her caring, her love, all these aspects, it benefits the family. It benefits the husband, it benefits the children. And it can pass on great characteristics to the next generation. Let me just give you these two things very quickly. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Why is she what she is? What she is trustworthy, loving, caring, a servant, a hard worker, industrious, wise, a helpmeet that she ought to be, the influence on the home. Why is she what she is? What makes her that? There are two things you find in verse number 29 and verse number 30. If you look in verse number 29... Actually, no, starting verse number 30. Verse number 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Those are two things that young ladies today are after 24/7, favor and beauty. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Why is she what she is? Because she has a focus on the Lord more than anything else. And then also, you see in verse number 29, not only does she have a proper focus, and that makes her what she is, she has a faithfulness that keeps her there. Verse number 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Why? Where's the excellest them all? Because she is faithful to focus and do what is needed. She is faithful to accomplish all of this. What does she gain very fast? What does she gain through all this? You say, well, that just sounds like she does everything for everybody else. No. What does she gain? Three very clear things. Verse number 25 tells us, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She gains joy. There's joy in life for the virtuous woman, for the one who will follow the layout of what God wants for a lady's life, and her spirit and her heart and her love, everything there, the working of it. In the end, it's not just toil and strife. It produces a joy. She'll have joy to look back on. Then also she has blessing, verse number 28, the first part. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Oh, by the way, I've heard this one before. Listen, this is where I'm hitting that one point, and I'm almost done. Y'all, hold on. I have heard many times, I've seen it put on Facebook, I've heard it in conversations about how, well, I just wish my children would arise and call me blessed. There have been some times when I've literally had to bite my tongue. You say, that's very judgmental. It's not judgmental. I've watched and watched and watched and watched and watched, and I'm not trying to judge because I've got my own problems, and I can point them out just fine. My wife can point them out. Don't talk to her. But I know my problems. I know I got problems, but it sticks out. There are those who have the children rise up and call her blessed, and there are those that then look and say, well, I wish my kids would do that to me. If you didn't do the work, don't expect the benefits. I'm not being ugly. I'm just presenting truth. If you're not willing to put in the effort, don't expect to get what everybody else gets that has worked and toiled and stayed faithful and stayed focused. If you want this, you've got to do that. I think my kids ought to say things much better about me. Well, listen. They believe more of what they see from us than what they hear from us. They speak of more of what they see from us than what they hear us claim. They will repeat about us, not what we have said concerning our intents, but they will repeat about us what they witnessed actually take place. Her children arise and call her blessed. Is that possible? Most definitely. Are there some good ladies that have served and given their best, and their children, their rotten, no good children, gone off the deep end and have nothing to do and curse their mom and curse their dad? Are there good homes, not perfect, but good homes with good ladies who gave their all that I would believe you could say, listen, to the best of their ability, they tried to be to the best of their ability a Proverbs 31 virtuous woman. They gave their all, and their children turn their back and go the opposite way and have nothing to do with what they were raised with. Does that happen? Yes. And may I say, the children will stand before God one day, and they will give an account for rejecting what was right. But may I also say, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. No matter how far they go, mom, no matter how far they get, no matter how hard they run, they will never get away from the truth that was implanted in them as they were being raised. You can run, but you can't hide. You can say, oh, it doesn't bother me. Let's watch your everyday actions and see how just honestly distraught and overwhelmed and discouraged. Just, oh man, it's eating you alive. You just don't want to admit it. God's word will not return void. And by the way, if you have children today and they're in the world, or you have children today and they're not living the way you know they ought to be living, the way you raised them and you gave it your best and you try to teach them right, and they've turned their back on it. Listen, be the praying mama. Be the praying daddy. Be the praying parent. Don't give up. Because if you planted in them the truth of God's word as they were growing, and if you were as consistent and faithful as you possibly could, not perfect, but as faithful and consistent as you possibly could, if you did the work needed, they can run, but they can't hide. It will haunt them. God can use anything to trigger Bible verses that they know are still up here. God can use anything to trigger an understanding that mama's praying for me, daddy's praying for me, I'm wrong, I'm in the wrong place. By the way, when they hit the bottom, they got to have a place to turn back to. So if you got children that are not where they ought to be, don't give up. Pray. Don't just reject and say, well, forget them. No, listen, be like the prodigal son's father. Be the prodigal son's mother. Be the one that's waiting and eager and looking and praying and hoping and anticipating that truth will reign supreme in their hearts and lives. The virtuous woman has joy. The virtuous woman gains blessings. The virtuous woman also gains praise. Last part of verse number 28, her husband also, and he praiseth her. verse number 31 ends out the entire chapter as well as ends out Proverbs. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And by the way, fathers, husbands, shame on you, sorry, rotten, no good, or shame on we, sorry, rotten, no good, low down dogs, if we're not willing to praise our wives, the mothers, the grandma. Shame on us if we're not willing to speak the praise and blessings of the work put in. If they did the job to be godly, they did the job of a virtuous woman. Shame on us if we forget to give honor where honor is due. Told you I wasn't going to just beat up on the ladies today. Last thing, here it is, I'm done. Go back to verse number 1. We didn't even read that yet. Verse number 1. This entire chapter, where does it come from? Where does this proverb come from? Verse number 1 of Proverbs 31 says this, the words of King Lemuel. Now, it's debate on who that is. There's not much history to look back on, but Lemuel is commonly thought to be endearing name given to Solomon by his mother, because Lemuel has a particular meaning. I didn't write it down. I'll have to skip it for now. But it has a particular meaning to it that very much could be from Solomon, his mother Bathsheba, to him. Okay, so again, there's debate on all that, but understand this. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Where does all this come from? Some man writing down what a woman ought to be. A mother telling her son, boy, here's what you look for. Here's the one that's going to be a good mother to your children. By the way, you remember first part of that chapter? It talks about not giving your strength to women, to strange women. Son, don't go chasing after every single person out there. Don't go chasing after. I'm going to give you a list of what to look for. And you get particular. And you get specific. And you be picky. Because as a mother, I'm telling you, here's what matters for a wife and for the mother of your children. Here's what you need. Let me give you a list of the kind of woman that God will be pleased with and that you'll be happy to have. This entire list was given by a mother to her son. Kind of brings a new light to it, doesn't it? Moms, you make a big difference. Grandmothers, you make a big difference. If we want the end result of what is gained, we got to be willing to put in all the elements of work that it requires. Your focus has to be right, and your faithfulness has to be present. I thank God for mothers who are faithful. I'm not going to tell it because I've already taken way too much time as it is. I believe last year I told a little bit about my mom in the past and how in my rebellious teenage years, my mom was a praying mom that somehow God allowed all the insulation to be out of the house whenever she was praying and I could hear her. It was amazing. It's like he put a speaker in my room and a microphone in hers. It was awful. For somebody trying to be rebellious, it was awful. There is nothing more powerful in the life of children than a godly, faithful, praying mother. Be what your children need. Be what your grandchildren need. Be what your, if you're still around, great-grandchildren need. They need to see moms with a focus on God. And they need to see moms who just stay faithful to what matters. You will get the stamp of virtuous woman by your children if we'll just be faithful to what was presented to a mother to her son. And ladies, men, it's important for us as well, but ladies, man, it's powerful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray.